This next story here on KNKX comes from our weekly show Sound Effect. Gabriel Spitzer is our host, and he can tell you more.
So you may have heard of this chemical BPA. It's in plastics and the lining of tin cans. It's everywhere. And lately, it's been fingered as the culprit for a bunch of health problems. In our bodies, BPA acts like a hormone. And in animals, at least, it seems to disrupt a bunch of important functions. A lot of what we know about BPA comes from the work of Patricia Hunt. She's a professor in the School of Molecular Biosciences at Washington State University, and she did not start out looking for toxic chemicals. She started out looking at eggs. And I mean human eggs, not like omelets. Hunt was studying why eggs deteriorate as women get older. She was working with mice, and things were going great, until they weren't.
We were getting some very cool data, and I was saying, yeah, we're on the right track. And then all of a sudden, the bottom fell out for us, and we started to see a bunch of abnormal eggs in our completely normal control females.
So what went through your head when you found that out?
We were in a hospital, in the basement of a hospital, and so the first thing I thought is, you know, maybe there's construction, maybe they're getting the air that's being piped in to my animals is contaminated, you know, maybe there's someone who's come in and sprayed for insects, and maybe we're getting some kind of exposure like that. So I immediately thought exposure, but I was really not on the right track. What it was is the cages and the water bottles that our animals were being housed in and drinking from were suddenly damaged.
And so how did you actually get to the bottom of how this had happened?
We think what happened is these cages saw the wrong detergent. So it's kind of like the difference between bleach and vinegar. And they were supposed to be washed in something more like vinegar, and they were being washed in something like bleach. And it turned out that that just damaged the plastic. The damage caused them to start to leach this chemical called BPA or bisphenol A, which at the time no one really knew anything about. And we then bought the chemical and said, let's see if we can just, you know, dose our animals with small amounts of this and see if we can get them to demonstrate the same changes in the eggs, and we could.
So how would you summarize the effects that the what turned out to be BPA exposure had on the mice?
Okay, you're probably not going to let me say holy shit, are you?
Too late. You already did.
You know, so this was, for me, absolutely terrifying and completely galvanizing, because we have been trying to figure out why humans do such a bad job of making normal eggs. And suddenly here I had a mouse model that really looked like a little 40-year-old lady in terms of egg quality. So, you know, this was a horrible misadventure for my laboratory, but it was kind of a gift in terms of trying to unravel exactly the problem we were trying to study.
Okay, these are only mice, right?
Yeah. And we said, you know, this is such a critically important question. We had to know if it was relevant to humans. So we exposed a few pregnant monkeys and looked at their female fetuses, fetal ovaries, and we saw the same thing. And then my colleague who studies the worm said, you know, maybe we should look at worms. And they saw exactly the same thing. So I realized that the paper I was going to write was going to say, you know, exposure to this chemical that we're all exposed to pretty much on a daily basis causes abnormalities in mice that in humans would result in an increase in miscarriages and chromosomally abnormal babies.
So what does BPA do to a developing fetus and its mother, for that matter?
Things that happen in utero set you up for adult disease or adult health, or things like heart disease, diabetes. So our first effect was actually asking if we got an exposure right close to the time that egg was going to be ovulated, would we make a change in that egg? And the answer in the mouse was yes, for sure we would. We then backed up and we said, okay, it takes a really long time to make an egg because the whole process starts during fetal development. So for females, when you form that fetal ovary, you immediately start the process of making eggs.
Well, how early are we talking about here? Like,
we're talking really early, in the early second trimester.
Early second trimester, so 3 or 4 months into a pregnancy?
It's really early in the pregnancy. And what's really interesting about this then is, from a female standpoint, your mother's being exposed. That exposure is crossing the placenta to the fetus, where it has the potential to affect a whole bunch of things like the developing brain, lungs, heart, etc. But if there's an ovary there, it can affect that developing group of cells that are going to turn into the eggs that are ovulated. And what's remarkable is we can, in the mouse, hit all of the eggs that female is going to produce in her lifetime.
Because those eggs that develop as a 3 or 4 month old fetus in your mom's womb, those are the same eggs that you're going to carry around with you your whole life?
That's right.
It's kind of wild to think that a young woman who's pregnant could be exposed and that exposure affects her grandchildren.
Right. It's what we call a grand maternal effect. And it's, you can think of it as 3 generations at once hit.
Wow. So in order to help us understand the scope of this issue and why it's important to so many people, can we talk a little bit about BPA? Like BPA, I think famously was in those, you know, Nalgene water bottles that a lot of us had in the 90s. What else?
At the time that we published our first study, I was really concerned about baby bottles because at the time all baby bottles were polycarbonate plastic. So I went to the store and I bought baby bottles. And I was horrified because they fell apart when this detergent touched them. They just fell completely apart. And I thought, oh my gosh, we're putting this into the hands of our babies and our infants. We asked for BPA to be removed from some of these products, and we got what we asked for. Unfortunately, that BPA-free label that you now see on products is not a guarantee that it's going to be a safer plastic because, you know, chemists can now take a molecule like BPA and they can tweak it. They can make a whole family of bisphenols that are not BPA. Okay, now it's BPF or it's BPS or it's BPAF or it's BP whatever. But it's essentially very close to a BPA molecule. But now they can label it as BPA-free. Consumers will reach for it. They'll probably even pay more money for it. But it's actually no guarantee of a safer product.
So from the point of view of the public, the lay public, it seems like one of the hard things about kind of understanding the potential dangers of chemicals and toxins is that they're invisible. And we don't really have a way of kind of weighing the risk of this versus that. And so it's easy to just say, forget it. You know, something's going to get you. I'm just going to ignore it. Or to go the other way and just get to completely paranoid and not want to touch anything ever. How do you kind of balance that in your own life, and how do you counsel other lay folk to make that balancing act?
This is a really difficult thing. And what I tell people is, you know, you can use plastics, but you need to recognize that any sign of wear and tear is a sign that that plastic's breaking down. And when it breaks down, it will leach the chemicals it's comprised of. So throw it out. Just get rid of it. The other thing is, you know, heat is an invitation for chemicals to leach out of plastic. So don't put it in the dishwasher. Don't microwave in it because it's going to leach chemicals into the food you're eating.
So as you look back on your kind of curvy career path, do you think there are lessons there about science, how science ought to work in terms of following the evidence, in terms of learning from our mistakes?
So, you know, a very famous granddaddy of genetics said, treasure your exceptions. And that's how I was raised. And that's what you're saying. Pay attention to what doesn't make sense.
Patricia Hunt is the Meyer Distinguished Professor in the School of Molecular Biosciences at Washington State University. Dr. Hunt, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It was fun.
Patricia Hunt is an Edward Meyer Distinguished Professor at Washington State University.